in a mere month with my very special show, which I like to start with a thought which perhaps would not immediately bring my absolutely fabulous guests, but I believe it will bring some extra moments of meaningful and memorable touch to the show. Yesterday marked the 66th anniversary of the end of World War II. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because it was a tremendous celebration yesterday in the world. Some places in Europe, it was not a working day. And the fact that we can think about heroes and this historic moment today, having sunshine and having some hopes, brings tremendous inspiration. And we decided to have a celebration in our own rights here in New York State, very distinguished Westchester County, and have special guests. Yesterday, I had very memorable time with the mayor of Ossining, Mayor Hanauer. And today, I have extraordinarily gifted people who are artists in their soul, who brought to the history of music, art, and performance in general tremendous success. They made, in fact, tremendous statement as a post-war celebration for the arts. And because it's well-known fact that Europe made its own enormous effort to restore theater and the arts foundations, in fact, it was so quickly done that the whole world was mesmerized to what extent it was a human spiritual celebration over terrible cruelty of a fascism. Well, today we're very honored to have one of those artists who made their own incredible contribution. And in fact, I have a particular joy because I have one tremendously beautiful person as a woman, as a singer, as a mother, as a wife, and a tremendous artist, Mrs. Calla Guild. And before we will let her speak, I'd like to also introduce her son, who is tremendously gifted, expressive individual, and he also will speak about himself and whatever he will choose to speak about, his family and his love for music. So I cannot imagine a better start with the first song, which I already had pleasure to hear because of the kindness of Calla Guild, who sent to me her second CD. So we will start a beautiful performance with a song which called It Is Not Where You Start. It just happened that I choose that song as a starting point for our program. So let's have this opening with beautiful Calla Guild. So we are going to listen to It Is Not Where You Start.
It's not where you start, it's where you finish. It's not how you go, it's how you land. 100-to-1 shot, they call him a klutz. Can outrun the favorite, all he needs is the guts. Your final return will not diminish, and you can be the cream of the crop. It's not where you start, it's where you finish, and you're gonna finish on top. If you start at the top, you're certain to drop. You've got to watch your timing. Better begin by climbing up, up, up the ladder. If you're going to last, you can't take it fast, man. Nobody starts a winner. Give me a slow beginner. Easy does it, my friend. Conserve your fine endurance. Easy does it, my friend, for that's your life insurance. While you are young, take it rung after rung after rung after rung after rung. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. It's not how you go, it's how you land. 100-to-1 shot, they call him a klutz. Can outrun the favorite, all he needs is the guts. Your final return will not diminish. And you can be the cream of the crop. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. And you're gonna finish on top.
Well, our clothes and our true welcome to Calla Gild and her first son, Mark Gild. My question is actually to invite a duet between a mother and a son. And I would like to ask Mark first, when did you hear first your mother sing?
Oh, my goodness. In the very, very early stages of my life, she's always been singing, whether it's in the car or just in the kitchen somewhere. She's always been filled with song and... So if and with chords like that, if you don't hear, you got to get your ears checked. She can belt them out.
I see. Calla, we left last time on just a moment when, unfortunately, we didn't have time. Unfortunately, we have plenty of time right now to talk about your Broadway time experience, your memories. So perhaps I will ask you a question. What is your overall feeling and the best memories participating in Broadway show?
Gina, you asked Mark when he first heard me sing. And at the time, he was four, I guess, either three or four. When I was working in a summer stock program in Sacramento, California, and so I would rehearse all day and then play at night. We did a number of shows, and we were always rehearsing that week for the following week. So I must have been singing around the house or at least vocalizing to get ready for the performance when Mark was a very small boy. So I'm not surprised that he doesn't remember exactly, but he was a very little guy, and I was working to help out with the family, and loved every moment, of course, of performing.
Which particular Broadway show remarked your personal artistic moments? And I also wanted to ask you, was Broadway marked as your very special moments in your singing career? And if you had some particular incredible artistic surprises in participating on some of the shows?
Oh my, Lena, it has been so many years. Some incredible moments. I guess I was playing with Gordon McRae at one point, and we as a troupe would rehearse all day and within a week complete and get ready for the performance. Gordon would come in 2 days before, get the instruction from the director, and be absolutely Simon pure. I mean, just perfect. And that, to me, was just amazing, that he was such a fine singer, such a gorgeous man and such a consummate artist. That was a very important part of my career, I think. Working with that group, Lewis and Young were the first tent people for summer stock in the business, and they had two tents, one in New Jersey and one in Sacramento. And to work for them was a great privilege and pleasure.
I will ask Mark if he has his own special touch to your Broadway performance. Mark, is anything particularly you feel very special about your mother's Broadway participation?
I was really a young kid, and back in those days, they had these big tents, and it would theater in the round. And so I used to be allowed to kind of crawl underneath the seats when they were rehearsing and run around the theater when the show was going on. And when I would stop and look at the audience, and it was always jammed, and see my mother on that stage performing, I welled up with such pride to think that my mother could be someone that could, first of all, have the guts to perform in front of all those people, and secondly, to be good enough to have someone like Gordon McRae be a part of the show. Even at that early age, I knew that that was something special, and I was a part of that clan, and I was very, very proud.
Well, it is well-known fact. However, the fact that it is well-known fact doesn't make any less complex situation for a young child to have an extraordinarily gifted parent. And certainly to see your parent on stage must be very overwhelming, beautiful, and yet with a touch of complex emotional reaction. I would imagine that set the tone for all your life, because probably in your heart and in your soul, you are a performer yourself, no matter what you did in life. Am I right or wrong?
You are correct. I've been known to belt out a tune from time to time, not to the level of perfection that Mom does, but I enjoy singing, and of all of the kids in the family, I think that I was the one most blessed with the singing side of the arts, and I thoroughly enjoy it, as you know, and have heard me a couple of times. It's great fun, and if whenever I get the chance, I'm a ham. I'm going to a christening or a confirmation this weekend, and I'm going to sing there. Anybody that'll listen.
And that will be probably the most precious statement in the whole time of that. I have to confess personally, I was quite shifted at one point, because one of our little conversations, which I have occasionally stopping at Underhill Gathering, I call it, where my son is a more frequent guest, and I know that you and my son have sometimes lovely conversations. But I was certainly a witness of something which was quite extraordinary, because in the middle of the conversation, which was not related to music to the best of my memory, suddenly I hear Bach Fugue in C minor for organ. And when I turned my head, I couldn't believe it. That was Mark, who was singing just in the middle of this bar and totally far from Bach music environment. So I believe that you have this very spontaneous, natural, artistic talent, and you just have to be, to look for more opportunities. And certainly my son will provide whatever opportunities will arrive, and I'm sure you can have mutual musical moments and share with all of us.
You never know.
You never know. And and we will connect back to your mother. Carla, there are two songs in your CD, one of which with so little to be sure of, And the other one, The Perfect Year. And both composers, the composer is the same. Actually, both songs have the same composer, Stephen Sondheim. This composer I know is very well known on the Broadway. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So
the most famous of all.
So I think maybe we can take another beautiful moment with your singing. And before we'll continue our conversation, I'd like to offer The Perfect Year with your performance, which will again bring us back to your Broadway years. And then eventually I like to talk about your husband and father of Mark, whose career and accomplishments just totally remarkable. So let me introduce you another perfect performance of The Perfect Year. With so little to be sure of, if there's anything at all, if there's anything at all I'm sure of, here and now, and us together, all I'll ever be, I owe you. If there's anything to me, being sure enough of you makes me sure enough of me. Thanks for everything we did, everything that's past, everything that's over too fast. None of it was wasted, all of it will last. Everything that's here and now, and us together. It's been marvelous to know you, and it isn't really true. Crazy business, this life we live in. Don't complain about the time we're given. With so little to be sure of in this world, we had a moment, a marvelous moment. My apology, we did play now with so little to be sure of. The reason I wanted to play The Perfect Year, because subjectively speaking, I thought that it will be somewhat a bit more harmonious musical progression between The Perfect Year and With So Little to Be Sure Of. However, I hope I'm forgiven, and I like to ask Keller to talk a little bit about this song. And there's just a lovely duet which you have with the piano part. I am not sure I'm heard for some reason. For some reason, I had a little interruption. Keller, I don't know if you can hear me. And I cannot hear Mark. Well, I regret we have this little break. So I like to hope that we will be back in a very few moments. But meanwhile, I just wanted to elaborate in the fact that we just heard absolutely remarkably refined, beautifully inspired performance of a lovely melody and recitativa, which was so harmoniously incrustated in this song. with so little to be sure of, but I certainly was a lot sure that it was everything which I mentioned. I hope that Cal and Mark can hear me back.
Yes, I'm here.
I can hear you, Leah.
Yes, I was frankly lost you for a few moments, and I apologize for more speaking than I wanted to. And now it's time for me to invite Cal.
Can you hear me?
Very well. Very well. I'd like to ask Cal to comment on this very beautiful song I just mentioned, with the most eloquent line, with a little bit of recitativa, with all this fantastic collaboration with the piano part. What is the background of this song, and who is the pianist?
The pianist, Lena, is David Lewis, and he is my coach and a very highly thought of and respected coach in New York, and a performer as well. David has worked on Broadway for as long as I've known him, and that's over 40 years. When we met, I was a struggling singer, and he was a piano rehearsal pianist for many Broadway shows. He has come a long way in his career, and now plays all kinds of concert work with many, many top musical stars, both in cabaret and on Broadway. If you ask anybody in the theater if they know David Lewis, they will give you reams of activities that they shared together, and they know him. He's very well known with everyone in the theater. I happen to know him when he was a kid, as I say, so he works with me still, and I'm very, very flattered that he gives me his time. As far as the composer on the music, I think anybody who follows Sondheim knows that he is especially good at songs of pathos, songs that have tender, kind of quiet and subtle meaning. And this is a woman that the story is about, who has reached a little late in years and has this young lover. And she's so grateful for his time and for his love, and she realizes that it will not last forever, and because she is so much older, and she just wants to thank him for all the things that he's given her, all the experiences, all the things they did together, and tries to tell him that she will never forget how much it meant to her, and the great gift of his company and his love during the years they were together.
What a fantastic story. It can certainly suit a little operetta, which goes way beyond just a song. I do remember you been talking quite a bit about David Lewis, and yes, once you said it, even I do know about this personality in Broadway world. I do remember that we talked in our first program and his role in your young, I hate to say word training, but your young development as a singer and as a musician. And then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you and him reunited after a few years when you started to reestablish your career in New York.
Yes, that's true. There were years in between. When I was very busy doing other things, I was very busy with five children, tried to be a good mother, and then I became a hardworking real estate salesperson because I love people and I love houses, and I wanted to get back into the working world. But then, mysteriously, we came together in Palm Beach at a party and reunited and are solid friends forever now.
Very soon, we will enter your Palm Beach world, because it's a way much greater than just your home, which I only can imagine very beautiful. But you certainly attached so many activities. You enlarge community with your own talent, experience, of course, Broadway genre, and of course, your husband made incredibly strong and profound statement in his own rights and also in your Florida life. However, I like to go to Mark, who was very quiet and very attentive. Mark, I'd like to ask your opinion. What do you think is a link between Baroque music, the Bach music, which you know so well, and modern genre, cabaret, jazz, and some other popular genre of music?
Well, I don't profess to be an expert in the classical music genre, but I've listened to your son Julian play a number of times, and if I can link those two things together, there's a magic about the way that he, Julian, interprets both Bach and any of the more current classics. And it's the interpretation that he brings to the table that I think is the best link for me.
I am extremely moved by your comment, and coming from such a connoisseur of music and aesthetic in life in general, I take it very deeply, and I'm very, very thankful for that. I wanted to ask you, how do you see Broadway genre is developing in the near future?
Well, from what I can gather, the shows that seem to be doing the best are the shows that are either the redos of things that were big hits in years gone by, that seems to me to be the trend that I see the most in. Once again, though, I think that the best person to talk to that on that one is my father, who is a Tony voter and also very knowledgeable about all of the Broadway shows that have been done in the last number of years. And if there's anyone that has a good take on that, it would be him.
It's true. The restoration of a number of the Broadway shows, Anything Goes is on Broadway now. It was a typical old classic humor, light comedy, and it's just doing gangbusters at the box office. People love it. And How to Succeed in Business is an old show that they have restored, and it is also charming and wonderful. It's so much fun. However, there are a number of new shows that are coming into Broadway, and that's really a celebration, because we can't rely always on the shows that have been produced before. And Bonnie and Clyde, for instance, is coming in sometime this year, and it's a wonderful show. I have seen it. It played on a test performance in Sarasota, Florida, and it was just so well received and so highly thought up by the critics. Broadway is really in a changing mode, I think, both to renew the restoring of old shows and the production of new.
Well, I think it's time for us indeed to talk about Mr. Ralph Gilt, who is literally a legend, and he was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 1998. And I like to make another musical opportunity here before we will go to Mr. Gilt's accomplishments. And I'd like to invite Kali again with her now, indeed, the perfect year, I think it is another perfect opportunity. We have this magnificent song because we're talking about magnificent Broadway and its future. So here's the perfect year, singing by beautiful Calla Guild.
Ring out the old, ring in the new, a midnight wish to share with you. Your lips are warm, my head is light. Were we alive before tonight? I don't need a crowded ballroom. Everything I want is here. If you're with me, next year will be the perfect year. It's New Year's Eve and hopes are high. Dance 1 year in, kiss one goodbye. Another chance, another start. So many things to tease my heart. Face to face, we will embrace the perfect year. We don't need a crowded ballroom. Everything we want is here. And face to face, we will embrace the perfect year.
It feels always so clumsy to start talking as an interruption of particularly such an eloquent performance.
That was from Sunset Boulevard. And she's such a needy woman. And I don't know if you saw Sunset Boulevard, but it was such a beautiful show. This ex-movie star who just could not imagine that she had grown past her prime and was no longer a hot property on the market. And she just wanted to remember her golden days, which were well behind her.
You know, even the way you speak about this, almost continuation of you just singing, a similar intonation. I don't see much of a difference between your eloquent, most expressive voice and when you speak. And the way you comment on this almost made, again, a little show. So I personally felt that I was a part of the show, a story, and I'd like to talk, according to that, to your theatrical skill, because as we spoke in our first program, integral part of the singer is to be an actress. So perhaps, indeed, I will interrupt my question to Calla, and I ask Mark, what is your feeling and what is your understanding how theatrical moments should collaborate with a singing moment?
Anytime you're singing a song, you have to fully understand what it is the writer of the music is trying to get across to the audience. And the more that you can internalize that and both show the expression with your eyes, your body movements, your face, it enhances the music and it engages the audience so that the whole experience becomes a much more rewarding one.
And sometimes singers take a single arioso or aria with a recitativo without even stage decoration. And I think having those qualities which you just mentioned becoming very important. So musical intonation becomes that much more theatrical with, of course, gestures and, of course, with the dancing skill. All of that creates almost like a miniature classic theater. I like to make a little sad note. I feel comfortable enough because we are having such eloquent and very open, broad artistic conversation. I hope that the modern, I think it's called hip-hop and some other deviations from genuine genres of music and art will not go too far, and that the people still will be linking to the roots and to the treasure of genuine art, music, and expression. And that brings my thoughts and my great great pleasure to talk about your home in Florida. Whatever I had an opportunity to learn to read and, frankly, to visualize, and then to be nourished with your performance, I could well imagine that your home became, if not a Broadway branch, but certainly a place for the celebration. And I believe that these some of those celebrations took place, one of which I believe had to do with the Kravis Center of Palm Beach Drama Work, where you, Keller, and your husband being co-chaired, and you being called as a super couple, and you've been hosting that celebration. If you can tell us about that.
Well, they called me and asked me, asked Ralph and me, if we would chair the gala that the Drama Works has every year. And we don't have a great deal of experience with this, but we've both worked on a number of boards. So we said we would do it, and we arranged this lovely party. We had over 250 people, and it was done in the dining room at the Kravis Center and catered by the Breakers Hotel. And it was wonderful. A very happy party, and just everybody there was interested in the theater and loved the theater. So it gave us all something in common and something to celebrate. The Drama Works is an amazing little theater production, and they are just moving into a new home on November 11th, 11-11-11, and they do such Broadway-level quality theater, and will be they have been reviewed by New York critics who come to see their performances. They have such a reputation. So we are extremely lucky in our community to have such a level, a quality level of theater as well as music. And that's about all I can tell you about the party, if that was your question.
Well, absolutely, but I have to confess, I thought that it was a somewhat collaborative event which did take place at Kravis Center, but also at your home. That was my misconception. However, I'm sure I'm not terribly wrong, because your home indeed became a point of celebration of your singing, and many events was a celebration of the community events.
Well, we do a lot of entertaining at the house, yes. We have a Sunfest party and a New Year's party, because we're located right on the Inland Waterway, right where they shoot off the fireworks. And so we try and share all the good stuff that comes from that location, and the fact that our house is not really a mansion, but it's large enough that we can entertain nicely numbers of people and share with them the good stuff.
Well, you know, it's not the size, it's a message, and it's your openness and willingness and joy which you share with others. I find it extremely valuable when it comes, especially in a private home. We try to do very similar things here in Bronxville, and I found that is particularly very personal and has much, much less of a commercial touch to it. I'd like to add a few things about your husband, who indeed was not only successful, but I believe he created a certain formula for the radio marketing. I perhaps simplify this, and Mark will correct me, but I believe that after he was extremely successful, being very young, but very successful at McGovern Radio in San Francisco, he was asked to be a chief operating officer as an East Coast representative. Yes, he didn't become immediately as a chief operating officer, but it didn't take him that long to get to this extremely noble position. Then I understand that he launched Interrap Radio in 1981. And perhaps on this note, I will ask Mark to talk more about his father's accomplishments, which connected business and artistry.
I don't know that there's a connection between the business and the artistry. It's something that he's taken up on his own. The business portion of it, you captured fairly well, that he did start in San Francisco. And then Darren McGavran, who was his partner, asked him to move to the East Coast because they wanted to be a national radio rep firm, not a local radio rep firm. And so he took it upon himself to go there and do his best to start up the Eastern Division of what was then the Darren F. McGavran Company. But then as time went on, he became an integral part of the organization, running the entire East Coast, and eventually became partners with Darren, and it changed the name to McGavran Guild. And that company is still with us today. But then, as you said, in 1981, the rep business by law was only... The rep business was traditionally only repped one radio station or one owner of a radio station, AM and FM, in each city. So as you can imagine, with 70, 80 radio stations in some cities, there were a lot of national rep firms. And NBC, WNBC, WYNY at the time came to us and said, we'd like for McGavran Guild to rep us in New York. And we already represented a WBLS. And we were not going to turn our back on our client. And so what the people at the radio station said was, why don't you start a second rep firm? And that way, McGavran Guild can rep BLS, and the second rep firm can represent our radio stations, and we'll put it under an umbrella company called Interrep. And if you look around at the advertising community at that time, the same thing was happening at advertising agencies. So advertising agencies might have one car in this particular agency and another car in another agency, all under the umbrella company, which would be of a third name. So you have, I don't want to get too technical here, but it was a way to expand the number of radio stations that we represented. And that was something that was very unique at the time and obviously turned the radio rep business on its heels. And the consolidation became rampant for decades thereafter. following a number of changes with the law in terms of ownership and all sorts of various things that affected the radio rep industry.
Well, thank you.
He was there, and he's the most innovative person that, in my estimation, that the radio rep industry has ever had.
Mark, thank you for indeed quite technical explanation, but that helps to understand how innovative your father was, and that truly, I'm sure, made all industry so much more effective, whatever it will touch. And I somewhat a little bit regret that we don't have him as a part of our show, maybe in the future, but only at his own right. But I like to ask Keller how much you feel it did help to shape your career to have such an incredible backbone of wisdom and understanding of business on the part of your husband.
Well, we've been married a very long time, and you learn as you go along. as I said, we both, I'm very interested in Ralph's work, and I guess I'm proudest of the fact that he took his rep firm from representing 15 or 20 stations at the point that Mark was talking about to being one of two reps in the United States, and they divide the radio stations between them, which is pretty spectacular, and was really great credit to my husband, because he was the first guy to do it. Ralph has many talents. He has many interests, and he's also a tap dancer. I don't know if you knew that, but he has taken tap dancer lessons since he was in his 40s, and is pretty good. Very proud of it. Still tapping, takes a lesson every week, and doesn't have much time for practice. But he just has all this great brain that enhances and embraces all kinds of yummy things.
Well, before we will hear you another song, which will be connected to your years in New York, and it's beautiful, very self-explanatory name of the song, I Happen to Like New York, I cannot resist, and I wanted to mention that even though sometimes technology to me farther than a moon or sun, but I have to be very thankful that because of the technology we can all speak today and feel our emotions, minds, but we actually never met, with exception, of course, with Mark, who happened to be in the same neighborhood. But myself and Keller and my son never met. So the only thing I could enjoy is the internet. And I had the pleasure to see your picture with your husband in one of your important events. I guess it related to Society Allure, of some event which indeed was connected, I believe, to Salute Broadway of 30th anniversary of the Hudson Theater. And even though I'm a woman, but I have to tell you that I cannot find a better harmony between your beauty, your voice, your wisdom, and you're just such a delightful personality. And your husband is not far away from you. So when I was looking at the picture, I certainly could not see much of the meaning of the numbers, how many years you've been together, but I could see this harmony and tremendous mutual nourishment, which somehow God gave you as a gift. On this thought, I'd like to offer this song, which is going to be performed by my very special guest, Calla Gilt, and with the company of her very talented son, Mark Gilt, and the name of the song, I Happen to Like New York. We have a song now.
I happen to like New York. I happen to like this town. I like the city air. I like to drink of it. The more I know New York, the more I think of it. I like the sight and sound and even the stink of it. I happen to like New York. I like to go to Battery Park and watch the liners zooming in. I often ask myself, why should it be that they should come so far across the sea? I suppose it's because they all agree with me. They happen to like New York. Last Sunday afternoon, I took a trip to Hackensack. And after I gave Hackensack the once over, I took the next train back. I happen to like New York. I happen to love this burg. And when I give this world my last farewell, and the undertaker starts to ring my funeral bell, I don't want to go to heaven, don't want to go to hell. I happen to like New York. I happen to like New York. I happen to like New York.
Wow. Our mutual applause. Kala, I will perhaps express a little bit of a technical musical opinion on this, just like Mark was so exuberant on the explanation of his father's business achievement and vision. I was absolutely mesmerized by this song because in the beginning it was rather monotony of the same motif, and the whole attention was in words and the way you pronounce them. What is, I call it accentship, unbelievable. It was clear, it was with humor, a little sarcasm. Everything was in this part, first part of the song. And then when the climax was built with this, again, fantastic piano support, you just being on the top of the world. So again, in this very brief song, one can see what a remarkable artistry you have as a big artist, as a big singer. What is your feeling about the song?
Well, it's a fun song. I mean, and I love New York. It's such an amazing city that it made me feel very happy to have something in my repertoire that I could just drop in when I when someone says, "What would you like to sing?" I can always count on "I happen to like New York." Lita, it's been such a pleasure being with you. I can't thank you enough for all your complimentary comments about my voice and my career. And it's been delightful to be with Mark and on the radio, because I don't get to see my son as often as I like. We don't live that far apart, but Florida's a little hard to get to all the time when he has a busy life. It's just been great, great fun, and I do want to thank you for a remarkable and a wonderful experience.
Well, we are truly appreciating the fact that indeed you're in New York, that you could fit into your very exciting schedule this program. And I just wanted to make a little comment that from your first concert when you were 10 years old to this very moment that you're performing, I do not even need to mention your age because it's irrelevant. It is a tremendously incredible success that you've been able not only to keep in shape, as they commonly say, but that your stamina as an artist almost, I would say, have an endless and incredibly exuberant talent. I like to wish you to be yourself just as you are, because I hope that world will continue to appreciate all your accomplishments accomplishment of your husband. I didn't even mention that you are a great supporter of one, I believe, Broadway group. Something you mentioned in the first program that you are for 2 or 3 years very generously supporting one young artist who is trying to put together a new show. So you are so diversified in your activities, your tremendous devotion, whatever it has to do with the singing, art, community, young or mature artists. And in our last few moments, I'd like to bring Mark's attention to one little thing and ask him, what is his musical desire? He mentioned that you never know, but we will try to collaborate, and I like for Mark to make a little air commitment, what would be his pleasure, and I know that my son will be very pleased to create whatever duet and whatever collaboration you choose to have.
Well, I have talked about it in the past, and you know, you make all the plans of mice and men, and then somehow we both get busy, and it goes by. But I would love to do something with Julian. He's such a remarkable talent, and I'd be honored to sing with him.
Well, we certainly will stretch words to music and to the action, and since I have this clear design your part, we certainly will do something in the very near future, especially summertime certainly opens this wonderful opportunity to get together and to be in the terrace with music. So we certainly will have a little echo from your mother's Florida life, and I hope we will collaborate between all of us with our similar and very great love for music and art. I'd like to conclude our program with a last song for this program, which called You're Near, You're Timeless. And on this note, I will certainly thank Keller, who graciously left enough time to have this program. It was a joy to have Mark, especially because he is a member of the community where I personally try to express myself. And I hope it is a part of wonderful mutual collaboration, which needs to be nourished by such outstanding people like Calla Gilt, her incredibly gifted husband, Ralph Gilt, and their first son, who is very special in his own right.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Styles keep a-changing, the world's rearranging, but Ralphie, you're timeless to me. Prices are soaring and life can be boring, but time cannot take what comes free. You're like a stinky old cheese, babe, just getting riper with age. You're like a fatal disease, babe, and there's no cure, so let this fever rage. Some folks can't stand it, say time is a bandit, but I take the opposite view. 'Cause when I need a lift, time brings a gift, another day with you. A twist or a waltz, it's all the same schmaltz with just a change in the scenery. You'll never be old hat, that's that. You're timeless to me. You're timeless to me. You're timeless to me.
Well, on this top note, Keller, thank you so much. And Mark as well. And if you are still part of our mutual air, I wish you absolutely the best.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you so much. And thank you for all your kind words. We enjoyed it very much being together. And I hope we have an opportunity in the very near future to meet in person. And we'll be spending more time north now that it's getting to be pretty hot in Florida. So we must arrange something very soon.
Absolutely. We are not only looking forward to it, but we will count our wonderful days before we will have a pleasure and honor to meet you. Mark, my son probably will see you tonight. Mark probably left.
But I'm typical sure. Man.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful evening. And thank you so much. My warmest regards to your husband.
Thank you, Lena. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. End of my special program was very important today. Artist Kelly Gilt, she's a carrier of traditions, totally unconditional love for music theater, and she loves life. We are going also to be thankful to her son, Mark Gilt, who created somewhat more of a harmonious presentation of this remarkable family. And I wanted to thank PBS for another edition of my program, saying that was Lena Life. I'm Lena Normand. Until soon.